I love playing in big symphonic orchestra because, I mean, there's no other place you can get such a big sound and so many different colors and textures from so many different instruments.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Hi, my name is Rachel Mercer. I'm a cellist, and I'm here with my sister.
My name is Akemi Mercer, and I play the violin.
I heard you playing at the Hamilton Art Gallery, and it was so amazing. Do you play often together?
My sister is away a lot, and I'm also studying abroad, so we don't get to see each other as often as we would like, but when we are together, especially in Canada, we try to play together, and we really enjoy that.
Yeah. When did you start playing violin and cello?
I started when I was 3. Apparently, my parents said I wanted to play the cello, so I guess I wanted to play it, and I saw it, and I chose it. And I started with the Suzuki method. With that method, at the age of 3, you get a box with a ruler taped to it, which kind of looks like a cello, and you learn kind of how to sit and stand and bow. It's basically the first thing you learn is how to bow before you can even play a note. And Kemi?
I think I was 4 years old when I started, and I was also with the Suzuki method. And I also, the first year was just how to stand properly and hold the instrument up, and it was just a box with a ruler stuck in it again. Our childhood was in BC, so we went to the Vancouver Academy. There's a really good Suzuki program there. You start on a really tiny violin, yeah. I think it's a 16th size or 8th size.
When you're that little, you are learning, we learned singing and things, no? Solfege.
My father, he played violin until he was, I think, around 16 years old, so he really loves music, and he also studied some classical guitar later on. And my mom is a elementary school music teacher. She also played the piano and studied composition at university. There's a lot of love of music, and they took us to concerts when we were little kids, and we were just exposed to that.
Do you still have teachers?
I'm still studying. I have one more semester actually left, and I'm studying in Germany, and then I'll be done school. There's a lot of really great musicians there, and just the whole classical music scene is, there just seems there'll be a lot more opportunities there as in Canada, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. There's really great orchestras there, and I love my teacher, and I was actually, the two violinists in my sister's string quartet suggested that I go there.
What kind of music do you like to play?
Well, we mainly play classical music, so we're playing that all the time, and there's lots of different composers we like, but this concert we are playing tomorrow, we tried to mix it up and play some other stuff, so we have a Beatles song. We actually are going to try to play Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin with violin and cello, and maybe some feet stomping to make some drums. And we're playing some folk songs and stuff like that. So that's really fun for us because we never play that kind of music. We like playing all kinds of music, maybe.
But yeah, mainly classical music is how we are trained. And I love Beethoven. there's so many great composers. It's probably my favorite.
Do you like to compose music?
I don't really have any talent in composing music, unfortunately.
How about you?
I guess I don't write anything either, but I think people that I guess it comes to them naturally. If they have some want or ideas that are just coming, they write, but I've never had that happen.
Yeah. I enjoy playing enough that I don't need to write anything.
Yeah, I was just at a summer festival in Switzerland as a member of an orchestra for the festival. It was a lot of young people, so it was really fun. There's lots of energy, and everyone's there because they love doing it. And I'll be starting in September playing in an orchestra academy in Munich, which is sort of a position for young people, students, playing in a professional orchestra, getting more experience.
And did you play with the Toronto Philharmonic?
You played solo with them.
Well, so did you.
What's more enjoyable, a smaller ensemble or orchestra?
Well, they're very different. I love playing in big symphonic orchestra because, I mean, there's no other place you can get such a big sound and so many different colors and textures from so many different instruments. But I love playing chamber music in smaller groups. You have more, like, individual contribution to the overall.
Well, I love both, but right now, since I'm in a quartet, I never get to play in a full orchestra, and I really miss it because it's just when you sit in a cello section, when you're playing a cello in an orchestra, and you're playing some big symphony by Brahms or Mahler or something, it's really like this huge power wave of sound behind you that feels like it's just lifting you up when you play, and it's just amazing. When it's a good orchestra, it's really amazing. And with the quartet I play with, it's not the same kind of thing. It's really more, I guess it's more like expressing yourself on stage, like an actor or something.
Madeline's been in the school orchestra for a year now, and she's kind of not losing interest. Did you guys join orchestras at young age?
It really depends on the, a lot on the conductor, because we had some really good ones when we were young who really knew how to drive the kids and work them hard. They worked us very hard.
Yeah, be very
and
demanding.
We're demanding and strict, but somehow everyone wanted to respond to that. So.
And when the conductor is very demanding and has really good teacher skills, especially for young people, then the kids can hear the improvement and it inspires you to keep getting better and better. But if someone doesn't demand enough, then you get lazy about...
Well, and really know how to teach, actually, when we need to.
Yeah, sometimes it was like getting an individual lesson in an orchestra. But yeah, it depends a lot on the conductor. I mean, at this festival I was at, for the first 3 weeks, we're just rehearsing with a rehearsal conductor before the real, like, famous conductors come. And there's an immediate difference when the... I mean, it's the same player, same orchestra, but it's a huge difference.
Yeah, but what is most frustrating... She's finding Madeline, finding in
what do you find frustrating about your...
I don't really like... Well, the orchestra is, like, way too big.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the reasons. People, they pretend that they play sometimes. Mm-hmm. But they don't really know their part.
They're really learning.
They don't really know their part. Because, and it's such a big orchestra, you can't really see that they're not playing, so they're just pretending to play. So I have, like, smaller, like, what do they call again?
Chamber?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like those.
Oh, do you have that too?
No.
Yeah, it's true. When there's less people, there's more attention, and you can really hear everything that's going on.
That's true.
Yeah, and then we just had Mrs. Braun teaching us. Just her.
She's been teaching for a long time.
Do you have sectionals? Like just the violins rehearsing, or just the cellos?
Yeah, we've got first violin, second violin, third violin. I just went up to second violin.
CFMU.
do you practice?
Want to go first?
That varies depending on how much time I have. But since I'm in school, I actually have quite a bit of time to practice. I mean, that's what I'm doing. So I try to do at least 4 or 5 hours a day. But in the summer when I was at this festival, we had 6 hours a day of rehearsal. And after that, you're just so tired and your muscles are tired. And you're lucky if you practice 1 hour, half an hour, even just to go over some things that you're unsure of.
Yeah.
So it depends on what you're doing at the moment. I didn't practice when I was your age.
No, I bet you did. I was going to ask that. Maybe you can say how many.
I don't remember.
How many hours?
When I was in school, college age, mm-hmm. school, like Kemi, I also did about 4 hours, at mm-hmm. least 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's different. It depends on, you know, you learn to work more efficiently when you have less time, and so mm-hmm. you can do less or more if it needs. It just depends what's going on. But if you really need to keep in shape, I mean, at least 3 hours a day, mm-hmm. just to keep really good level of playing.
Yeah, and as children though.
Not when we were younger than 16. I don't think we did that. There are people that did, of course.
Yeah.
The really famous musicians did.
Now I wish I had been forced to practice when I was a kid, but I had a nice childhood. But things would be easier now if I had practiced when I was little. Because that's when your hands really are being formed and...
I don't know if it's the hours. I think it's more like having the right... Learning the right way and having the right teaching, and that everything works really smoothly and efficiently. And then you don't need tons of hours. It's just that your brain is working the way to get results. I don't know.
Yeah, and learning to focus, really. That's really important.
I mean, you can always say you could have had this teacher or that teacher, mm-hmm. but... And okay, I've had teachers that have given me more and teachers that have given me less, but hopefully in the end you can take all the good things from all of those teachers. Because no teacher is perfect mm-hmm, either, mm-hmm. of course.
Do you have really favorite ones that you remember that really made an influence on you?
Well, my teacher right now, his name is Viktor Tretyakov, he's from Russia, and he's been living in Germany for 8 years, and he's probably one of my favorite living violinists right now. So I'm so lucky to study with him, and
he's a legend
and hear him,
these are legends.
Hear him playing, demonstrating in my lesson, that's even if he didn't say anything, just to hear him up close and hear him play is I'm really privileged.
How about you, Rachel?
I had so many great teachers, and they all gave me, I tried to make one two essential things from each of them, so I can't really pick. And Kemi was saying, okay, she's still studying and that I'm not studying anymore, but I always feel like I'm learning from listening to recordings, and I go to concerts, and just even actually, you know, I watch Much Music too, the one that has the bios of the bands, because I'm in a quartet, and it's okay, it's not quite the same as a band with four people in it, but there are a lot of things that are similar, and like what they went through for their careers and how they prepare for a stage and like how they create things and what's important to them. That's really interesting to me. So I'm always learning from different.
Do you have a favorite place to perform?
So different. You this where we're playing tomorrow, the First Unitarian Church in Hamilton.
Yeah.
We've played there for 3 years, and it's always for our family and friends, and so that's a really fun place to perform. And also really big halls, the famous big halls in the world are also fun to perform, but for different reasons.
I mean, I also enjoy playing at the church in Hamilton, because it's just really comfortable. And
it's because of the audience, basically.
The audience. And
the audience.
We pick whatever pieces we want to play, and we're playing, it's always us together, sisters, and I really enjoy playing together.
When did you start playing together as sisters, though?
I guess, did we always?
The first time, maybe, in a real concert was at the Vancouver Academy, I think. I think you had a recital, and I played with you.
Maybe.
For the recital.
I must have been 8 or 9 years old
or something like that. Because my quartet is, it's existed actually 9 years. I've been with it for 4, and they already had tours before I joined. So we've been to South Africa, Brazil, in the North America, States and Canada, and a lot of places in Europe. Mm-hmm. And they went to China and Australia before I joined them, so I missed that. But hopefully in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel, because it's an Israeli string quartet. I love it. Yeah. I really love traveling right now, especially in, you know, I've only had this opportunity for 4 years so far, so I mean, I love coming home too. Yeah. Like right now I'm home for a week, but I love traveling, and it's different, I think, from visiting a place and really seeing all the things that are there, like more tourists, because I don't get to see the normal things people do, but just being in the country and getting some glimpse of what it's like, it's really interesting.
I was going to ask, how did your parents support your playing, and how did they encourage you, or what did you mention they took you to concerts and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, they spent hours and hours driving us to lessons, we lived a bit outside of Vancouver, so driving us, I think, twice a week to Vancouver for lessons and group class, and then, I mean, they were always really supportive, and a lot of parents wouldn't want their kids to go to university to study music, because it's not really guaranteed that you're going to get a great job in the future.
We were always encouraged to study other things as well.
But
they're happy that we're happy. So. No, they love music too. Yeah. So.
But they understood our love of it, and that we need half-decent instruments and lessons with good teachers. Yeah. So.
But they had support. I mean, we did other stuff when we were little. Kemi was a competitive gymnast, and she did rhythmic gymnastics and swimming.
Oh, synchro?
Synchro.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Synchro. But
and soccer.
Yeah, and soccer, like rep soccer.
And we talked basically about mentors already, but unless you have something more you want to say about, like, just any mentor. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be even a teacher. Maybe there's somebody that can help you, that you know in your life that maybe helped you some way that you found.
Well, for me, my sister is a big mentor for me.
She's my inspiration.
No, she's going to get embarrassed, but it's true. I mean, she's my older sister, and she went to university before I did, and she also moved to Europe before I did, so she had a lot of help to give me, and pointers and tips and encouragement.
Yeah,
I paved the way. It's great. It's always like that. The younger one, it happens faster. But
any advice for acquiring young musicians or something?
Well, just do it as long as you love it. If you don't love it, then you don't have to do it.
And it's always great to go to concerts. I mean, sometimes they're a bit too expensive, but I know the Toronto Symphony has, you can get $10 tickets for young people. It's really good to hear really good musicians, because you have something to aspire for. And
there's one other question I want to ask. What do you feel about the audience? Like, how's your audience? I find that sometimes you go to concerts and can be, maybe, I don't know how you feel when everybody's much older, an older generation.
It's often like that.
Yeah. I mean, like, what happens? Like, how do people pass on this music if young people don't go to it?
I think there are some places that I've been in the last half year where there were a lot of young people, and I don't know why. It was just, we played in Dubrovnik in Croatia in the summer, and there were, like, half the audience was my age. And then in Sweden we just played, and there were quite a bit of young people.
Yeah.
And but it doesn't bother me who the audience is, because they're there because they want to hear the music. Yeah. So these people are going on and on about how class music is dying and the audience is fading away. But there are a lot of people doing things about that now. There's a lot of programs that involve children and teenagers to listen. So hopefully that will make a difference. But there are still people studying music and everything. I don't see how it'll die away. Hopefully not, because I want to keep playing. I enjoy it. So. Well, I will anyway.
Whatever.
Yeah. But this is something else. Okay. You were saying about what I said, that people should play if they want to, and if they want to stop, then stop. Because so often you have someone come backstage that says, oh, I used to play this, and I'm so sorry I stopped, and I really regret it now, but there must have been a reason. There must have been some, maybe you didn't get along with the teacher, or you didn't enjoy it. And if you didn't enjoy it, then it's okay. And there's nothing saying you can't start again. Any age, really. There are lots of people who start again, and then they're really enjoying what they're doing afterwards. And it's not that you need a huge career or something, because that's so rare that people have that anyways. Yeah. It's not the end result. you're playing because you love it, not because you want to play on all the stages in the world or something. It's not. Not the most important thing.
How old are you? Is that okay?
I'm 28.
Okay.
I'm 26. Okay. Okay, it's a set of variations arranged by Johan Halvorsen, based on a theme by Handel for violin.
Thank you.
like, you must be in a completely different realm or something, right?
No.
It's just, no? Are you aware of us?
Different people are different. I always feel like I can sense what the audience is doing.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't bother me. It's just if you feel they're listening or not.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learners.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.